the most remarkable thing about the American Revolution is not that there was a rebellion, because there had been rebellions before. What was really significant were the enlightened ideals that this revolution based itself on. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Where'd that come from? I mean, certainly it didn't come from European law. We had the Magna Carta in England, but that really just guaranteed the rights of a small group of noble people. Where did this come from? As Bruce had mentioned, the ideas came from the Enlightenment, but if we stopped there, we'd be missing maybe the most important influence on America's founding. Where Locke and Rousseau and the other philosophers of the Enlightenment got their ideas from Jefferson's, Washington's, and Franklin's backyard, the New World. Now, interestingly enough, when people migrated here from the Old World, what they found was actually an existing civilization that had been well established for at least 400 years before the signers of the Declaration of Independence even lifted a quill. Some authorities say that perhaps as early as 1100 AD, the six tribes that populated what is now northeastern United States and southern Canada came together to form the Iroquois Confederacy. Six diverse nations found a way to live together in peace and still retain tribal autonomy. And they developed a sophisticated system of balance of powers that was later adopted by the U.S. Constitution. Now, in this, as you would say, an animist culture, what they understood intrinsically was that authority didn't come from the top down. Authority came from the ground up. Authority came from independent individuals who had equality, who had the same rights as anybody else. In the tribe, there was an equality. And so consequently, whenever structures were created, it was not a top-down imposition of the structure, it was a bottom-up agreement. And that's exactly how the six nations of the Iroquois Confederation came together. You've heard the name Hiawatha. Hiawatha was the negotiator who put this thing together back there, you know, many centuries ago. And it was quite an accomplishment because all of a sudden, all of the resources that were being used to fight one another could now be used to share the wealth, a very powerful concept. So here's an amazing fact. A Native American from the Iroquois Nation was the first one to propose an idea of the United States, and it happened on July 4th. July 4th, 1751, exactly 25 years before the signing of the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Franklin was in a meeting, and the Iroquois chief named Canossatego, he was a very articulate speaker, and he spoke about the power of unity. And he did a demonstration. He took an arrow, held it up, and he snapped it in two. But then he bound 12 arrows together with twine. And the 12 arrows represented at that time, the 12 different colonies. And he tied these 12 arrows together, and he invited somebody up to try to break these arrows, and nobody could break the structure. So Benjamin Franklin watched this demonstration, and he wrote a paper. He says, imagine that if these ignorant savages could do this, then certainly we civilized beings could do that. Now, of course, he actually greatly respected these so-called savages. He was making a point that if these people who apparently we considered not civilized were able to put together such a confederation, then certainly the United States could do that. Franklin proposed something called the Albany Plan very shortly after that in 1754. It didn't pass, but the U.S. Constitution incorporated the balance of powers, and it was indeed a confederation of autonomous states who gave up their authority to make war in order to combine their resources and become stronger, like those arrows. Now, interestingly, if you look at the seal of the United States, this one has 13 arrows that are bound together. So obviously, this significantly affected the founding of this nation. And as a matter of fact, there were some representatives of the Iroquois nations who were invited to the Constitutional Convention. Now, we were talking about deism. Not only were the Founding Fathers influenced by this deist and animist philosophy, but also by the European esoteric wisdom traditions, for example, like the Freemasons. Now, depending on who is doing the writing, the Founding Fathers have been described as scientists, or religious men, or deists, and in fact, they were all three. As I said, a number of the founders, Washington, Jefferson, and Franklin, significantly, were Freemasons. And the origins of the Freemasons can be traced to the Knights Templar. The society was dedicated to moral renewal and the perfection of humankind. Does that sound like an enlightened ideal? In fact, historian Charles Ledbetter described the Masonic rituals as influencing the body so that, and here are his exact words, so that evolution may be quickened. So the revolutionaries were actually evolutionaries. Jefferson saw equality as a biblical and scientific fact, and he suggested that these evolutionary principles be extended beyond the borders of the new colonies to the whole of humanity so that all humans are created equal. Finally, there was a strong belief among the Founding Fathers that each nation had a spiritual destiny and a positive gift to give to the world. So in the light of this, it should be clear that when the signers signed the Declaration of Independence, they weren't doing it for America. They were doing it for the people of the world.